my goal is always to find, like, I want to put someone on the brink of their abilities, and that's what's going to elicit adaptation. I have a tough time just sort of sitting still. I want to keep nudging people, because to get back to running, you know, as I always say, running's a plyometric activity. It's not very forgiving if you aren't prepared and you're going to go out. It's like 750 contacts per leg if you're going to go out for a mile run. Like, yeah. You need to be prepared for that.
Another great show, no stranger to the program, is Chris Johnson, a great PT who just released a book, Running on Resistance. Chris has been on the show before talking about his app, Run Cadence, and he's a guy I go to when looking for really great ideas in exercise prescription. When I say great, I mean simple. That's why they're great. First round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply. BFR, it's here, and Johnny Owens and the team lead the way. Check him out online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pintcast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Not quite happy hour right now as we record 10:45 in the AM for me on the East Coast. And our guest, as we bring him into the screen, Chris Johnson, a little earlier from the West Coast. Chris, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again, Jimmy.
Mentioned before we got to broadcasting, doing the caffeine thing and not the alcohol thing this morning. It's still the same feel, though, right?
Yeah. Do you sell those as a package? So do you do like a coffee mug and then a pint glass?
Chris.
There you go.
You're creating things as we're on the air. That's why the live element brings so much to it. We actually just started selling pint glasses because so many people asked for them. So I had one next to them. I think we sell them for like $7 on the website. We'll have the link if people are asking, but they say it's hard to see right now because it's clear, but it's got the logo on one side. And then from Game of Thrones, I drink and I know things, which is true of all physical therapists, right? I drink and I know things.
Well, there's something about pint glasses. You know, when I go and race, so I've done a bunch of these long course races, you know, mainly the Ironman branded ones. And I never buy anything at the tent, which is where they're selling all their merchandise.
But they get you coming and going there.
Yeah. And I've been breaking a bunch of them lately. Like they chip and then, you know, it's I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen today? And they're always from my most memorable races.
Right. Yeah. I had my cousin, I did my first New York City marathon. You know, before you do the marathon, it's just this thing. It's got this aura about it. And of course I buy the pint glass when I finish and my closest cousin comes over to celebrate like a month later and she smashes the thing. And of course I could get another one, probably even cheaper because they're trying to get rid of that one, but it's still, I wanted that one because I bought that one on race day. So I think people who don't do races and kind of grab something like that, they don't understand it, Chris.
Well, maybe you need to make a sleeve for it. So I was sitting here and you had the pint glass and we were talking before we got on the call. And so I have one of the coffee mugs from a race and I always buy a pint glass. So, but you know, the pint glasses for the Ironman races are like $24 now.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it's got an Ironman logo on it.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, we bring you on again. No stranger to the show. You've been on before. I think it was like episode 141. I reached out because you're a physical therapist who works with triathletes, athletes, runners, you know, that sort of realm. And my interest there led me to you. And then we actually did a review of your app. Talk about that for a second. Run Cadence. We did a What's Appening episode where we kind of reviewed that. Describe what it is in case the audience doesn't know and what's up with it now.
So the Run Cadence app is something that my good friend and business partner, Ben Walker, who heads up Lake Washington PT here in Seattle, actually Kirkland technically. He and I just got to chatting at his 40th birthday and we just felt like there was a simple metronome app that was needed for runners. And we didn't want to do a million things. We wanted to basically put you through a test so you could identify your step rate at a given speed and then have a built-in metronome that could give you feedback. So it's essentially just a gait rate retraining tool. The app world's it's an amazing place. It was a very interesting problem to solve, and I won't say that we've solved it. So, but it's still live on the App Store. I think it's $1.99 right now. And yeah, I think a lot of clinicians around the world are using it. But these apps are very expensive. I mean, to do it right and to code it out, and then the technology is always changing. You know, they're doing software updates, new watches are coming out. So, you know, it's always interesting to me. People talk about putting together an app over dinner, and it's just so far from reality.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't even go anywhere near doing something like that. But I'll tell you, you know, I've got it on my phone. I use it throughout my training process. If there's ever, I don't know, issues that come up, but I liked it because it was simple. Listen, if you're asking me to calculate something, then I start counting fingers and I'm not actually running like I'm supposed to be running. It does that for you. And then the after, once it figures out that whatever cadence you're at, and what was it? It was a reduction increase in cadence by 10 steps a minute or 10%.
So 5 to 10%. And there's a lot of research that lends credence to that range. So once you go above 10%, it tends to occur at a metabolic cost. So as we say, juice isn't worth the squeeze. You know, 5% also yields a meaningful change. And there's some research out there that shows that, you know, generally a 3% increase in step rate is one's optimal step rate. That's a paper that Izzy Moore wasn't the author on. She's a PhD over in the UK. She wasn't the author on it, but she referenced it in a manuscript that she put out related to running economy factors. The other thing that's cool about that app is that with all the tendon research coming out, I mean, mainly out of Joe Cook's lab with Ebony Rio's tendon neuroplastic training, it allows you to set the stage, you know, so if someone, rather than just say, hey, do 3 sets of 10 and you leave them to their own devices, you get them to do 3 sets of 10 to say 45 beats a minute. And it's just another way to standardize things. So it has so many applications. It just depends on, are you aware of all the research that's out there and how to infuse it in to the rehab process? So, you know, look, this isn't something we're trying to retire on. Let me be clear about that. but we just, I don't know, we felt a need to put it out there. It's funny, though. I have to contend with so many emails. People are like, oh, it's not working. I want my money back. And I'm like, oh, well, I'll gladly give you your money back, but let's troubleshoot, because it's always something in the settings that they didn't turn
right
on.
Right.
So, you know, this goes with the territory.
Stand by.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
Can't say thanks enough to our sponsors at Aureus Medical Group. They are the leaders in travel physical therapy staffing. Quite simply, they find physical therapists' jobs. Do what you want to do, where you want to do it. I'm talking about placements in all 50 states. Just take a look. Get on a phone call with one of their recruiters. Yeah, Aureus is the expert in travel physical therapy. AureusMedical.com. That's Aureus Medical Group. AureusMedical.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
So you took something like creating an app, and you did that. And then you said, well, let me try something a lot easier and less time consuming. And you wrote a book.
Yeah, I would say it's about 1,000 times more consuming.
Like, man, me reading a book is a pretty big undertaking. So someone writing a book, I'm always kind of impressed. We're putting the name on the screen for those watching online. It is called A Guide to Strength Training for Runners. You wrote it alongside of some colleagues, Joel and Nathan, who work out with you out in the West Coast. Talk about the book. Why'd you decide, writing a book? I'm going to get into this.
Well, it's it's essentially a strength training guide for runners and really practitioners. It has a little bit more of a technical slant. Technically, it's called Running on Resistance. You probably have heard the phrase running on empty. And I'm like, well, we don't need to be running on empty. This is something that seems like it could really lend itself to, you know, improved performance, greater consistency with running. But, you know, all of these videos that I've been shooting over the past several years, they raise so many questions when I put them out to the online community. It almost creates more work for me on the back end, because I try to follow up with people desperately, you know, just because I want to be cool and be a resource. So I felt like I just needed to birth this thing. Nathan Carlson is in Kansas City at KC Endurance and heads up KC Running Mate. And Joel Sapgas just took a position at Methodist University. So we just teamed up, we have a very similar code of ethics or, you know, value system. And, you know, we were able to get it done, but it was a long haul. When you start writing something, you realize how much has been published on something as simple as a bridge or a step up. So long story short, we wanted to put this out there is almost a digital textbook. I felt like I learned nothing in PT school. And this isn't to knock the program. There's so much you have to cover. I felt like I was so trained from an orthopedic standpoint, but I learned nothing with runners. And I thought I had some affinity to run, and that may have put me in a better position to help runners, and I was just dead wrong. So we created this book, and it sort of follows almost like how Dan John talks about strength training. He's like, you know, you have a push, pull, hinge, squat, press, carry. We started realizing that we're giving very similar exercises for runners. I mean, running has a predictable set of performance demands. It shouldn't be a mystery what we need to do to prepare someone. So we basically break it down. There's a connecting with endurance athletes chapter. There's a programming considerations chapter, which gets more into tactics, less periodization. We think that's more for individual coaching, which we'll talk about in a second. And then it takes you through a dynamic warm-up, a march. And these are all individual chapters, so you can just jump to whatever chapter you want. A loaded carry, a squat, a step up, a toe tap, a bridge, a plank, calf training, and plyometrics. And we gave the primary exercises that we're using when we're in the trenches, working with runners. But we also felt that you need to have clear learning objectives. For each chapter, we may get into anywhere from 4 to 8 exercises. For each exercise, we say, here's a rationale. Here's the objective. Here is what constitutes success. Here's what constitutes mastery, relevant cues, and then common errors. Again, I think it's going to be an evergreen product. I mean, this is something that this stuff is not going to change over time. And we kept it digital because of all the links. Everyone's asking me if I'm printing up a limited run of hard copies. But with the way technology has gone, you know, we just want to keep this. So we'll get it on the Kindle momentarily. But yeah, it's a digital textbook more than anything.
Yeah, that literally was one of the things that I wanted to say is it looks like a textbook and almost like a written version of how a PT can walk through not just a running eval, but really kind of running treatment, because this is ongoing. You know, just for an example, you had a table on there to ask an athlete to self-report their quality of sleep, their soreness, and then you add that up to a scale. You're making it very, very easy for the person who wanted to go from learning in PT school to how to be a specific physical therapist for runners. So you're walking them right through that process. So it did feel textbooky like, because there's a lot of references, because you cited a lot, but it wasn't so high level that I don't think somebody who is an athlete, I'd say they have to be a higher level athlete in terms of really paying attention to this stuff. You know, this isn't like a Saturday, this isn't summer reading as people would call it. But if you're into this stuff, it's not so high level that it's going to go over their head, but it's going to be intriguing. It's going to have some, it's going to challenge them a little bit.
Well, just hearing you say that tells me that we hit the nail on the head. So, I mean, we wanted to put something out that, you know, as much as you want to try and dumb these things down, you realize that there's some technical information here. So you don't want to go too deep in the weeds, but you also don't want to just write a bunch of fluff. So Jen Shelton, who is in Born to Run, she's one of the most probably impressive endurance athletes on the planet. I connected with her at a conference recently in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that I put on with Jeff Moore and Mike Eisenhart. And she bought a copy of the book. She heard me speak. And so it was flattering, but she read the whole thing in, I think, a day or two. And she said, look, I just dive deep when I you know, start doing something. And she gave me the exact same feedback. She said, it was technical, but not unapproachable and very well organized. And I'm like, hey, can I use that as a testimonial?
Yeah, from her. Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Well, I appreciate you working through it.
Yeah, no, I liked it. And we talked before we went live with this. I'm just coming off of, you know, triathlon season. You know, now we're entering fall. And this is really the phase of where I should be going back to the gym to prepare next year. And I've talked about this before on this show. Hired a tri coach who's actually a new PT, just graduated from PT school. Kevin, who's my coach.
Yeah. He's coming out to Seattle. We're going to train for a day.
He's legit, man. He and I just actually went on a training ride a couple weeks ago. We rode the only time I've ever actually ridden a bicycle through 1.5 feet of water. Let him tell you about that one. That was a good experience. But this is the time I want to go into the gym and use this. So this book coming out at this time could not have been more perfect for me. And let's be honest, Chris, this show is all about me. But one thing I wanted to ask was, you mentioned the exercises. You said about 6 per chapter. You got thousands out there you can choose from. And if anybody's been to your YouTube page, all those exercises, which look really easy at first, and then you try to do them and you realize how hard they are. How did you pick those exercises and those particular progressions of all the things you could have chosen?
That's a great question. And we started off, I think, with the video shoot that we did. I mean, we literally started at like 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning and went to about 5 p.m. on Sunday. We shot probably 250 videos, which is a ton. And I've rehearsed this stuff, so I can just like one or two cuts and we're good. Joel and Nathan, the three of us, would get on calls all the time and we just say, how can we strip this down? You know, like, what do we really give? So it forces you to really, you know, audit your own exercise prescription. And we just felt like, you know, day in and day out, this is what we're giving. And there are a few that didn't make their way on, but, you know, you want it to be approachable for the reader. If you start saying like, hey, here's 15 exercises, they're like, oh man, I'm going to check out. So we tried to give the ones that we thought had the greatest bang for the buck. And also the ones that we use as athletes, as well as coaches and clinicians. So yeah, and hopefully we pulled it off. You know, again, I still read through chapters and I'm like, what if we did X, Y, and Z a little bit different? But yeah, you know, that's just the nature of the beast.
How do you decide and assess where to start a patient or an athlete within those exercises and progressions? Does it come with experience? You know, does someone just have to do it a lot? Because that's a hard thing to do, is find that starting point.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that all exercises, you know, I think we can all appreciate that there's no such thing as a special test. All these special tests really are far from special. I always use the exercises that I'm giving is diagnostic. I mean, if there's a special test, it's what's the movement that this person wants to get back to doing? What are they currently capable of? So, you know, if you give someone, let's talk about the step up. Where I work, I'll watch someone negotiate stairs and I'm like, wow, this is sort of sloppy. So I'll take them through and you can nudge someone really quick. I'll say, hey, let me watch you do a step up. I'm going to show you what it looks like when I do it. And this doesn't need to be like the exact model of performance. You don't need to copy me, but this is what it looks like. Have a practice. I want to just get a window in. And I walk away. I say, I'm going to go get a cup of water. I want them to just practice a few. And then I'll say, okay, let's tweak X, Y, and Z. But you can nudge someone really quick with exercises. So, you know, if you give someone a bridge as part of an assessment, you say, hey, let me watch you do a standard double leg bridge. That looks good. You know, or they may be sinking out of their hips. And at that point, you want to say, let's focus on just a standard double leg bridge. You know, if they demonstrate proficiency or even mastery of that, then I would say, okay, let's start marching with the bridge. Oh, that looks good. Take a rest for a second. Now let's try a bridge with a straight leg raise. That looks good. Let's start walking you out. Let's take you to a long lever bridge. My goal is always to find, like, I want to put someone on the brink of their abilities. And that's what's going to elicit adaptation. I have a tough time just sort of sitting still. I want to keep nudging people, because to get back to running, you know, as I always say, running's a plyometric activity. It's not very forgiving if you aren't prepared and you're going to go out. It's like 750 contacts per leg if you're going to go out for a mile run. Like, yeah, you need to be prepared for that.
One of the things that gets brought up a lot, especially in the PT profession, is load it, load it, load it. And some things that we took away from the book, Kevin and myself reading through it, was that you're really pushing that, make sure it's a coordinated movement first before you go and put that load on it as a prerequisite for really loading it. Was that deliberate? Is that what you deliberately try to do?
Well, sometimes I always say running's about rhythm, timing, coordination. Sometimes, you know, like I'll throw a weighted vest on someone if they're doing a march or a step up, and it actually cleans up the movement, or it basically gets them to be a little bit less wobbly, shall we say. PTs will call that neuromuscular control. I just say they're wobbly, because I'm working with patients all the time. They don't know what the hell neuromuscular control is. It's right, sort of a threatening term. But I think that, yeah, you want to load the tissue. You want to make sure you have the tissue capacity. But I also, my goal is to always try to get people to to move with grace, fluidity, elegance. Not everyone can do that, but I always think that there's a way to find certain exercises where someone is able to do that. They start to, I think it gets them to buy in. They're like, oh, look how, this looks great. Sometimes I'll record a video and show them. And they're like, yeah, it sort of gets them on board. This is a topic I battle with a lot. And I still, perhaps I'm not settled. I know my bias is to move with, try to focus on fluid, elegant motion. And I just, every time you watch a lot of these world class athletes, I mean, you look at someone like Roger Federer, Kipchoge, David Rudisha, Tirunesh Dibaba. I mean, like, all of the world-class athletes seem to have this element. That's sort of my bias, but that's a bias.
What's something that you hope someone takes away from this book after they get their hands on it?
How we progress exercises, and there are implications to every exercise that you give. So, you know, if you look at, like, say the step up, for example, you know, so I start people with just basically part whole learning if I'm going to introduce this, and then take them to a fluid step up and then a continuous step up. And then maybe have them do a step up and over. The step up and over, you have to understand, is going to load the great toe more, that you're going to expose the Achilles to greater compressive forces. So you have to really understand all these exercises from a 360 degree standpoint. That's one of the goals of that book, is to say, here's a good starting point and here's how you push the needle. Because I feel like clinicians are generally pretty good at getting things calmed down, but they forget the P in PRE, things have to be progressive. And you can't rush biology, but, you know, like we were saying before, you want to put people on the brink of their abilities, and that's what's going to elicit adaptation.
The website as well, where people can find out more, chrisjohnsonpt.com. Are you ready for three questions, Chris? I don't know if this is something we were doing last time you were on the show, but you prep for it now?
Yeah, I like to just roll.
Three questions brought to you by our sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing. You can find them online, AURUSmedical.com. Chris, going from East Coast to West Coast, they have positions in all 50 states, in all settings. So find out where you can do what you want to do, which is be a PT anywhere you want to do it. That's AURUSmedical.com. First question on three questions. You've done East Coast, now on the West Coast. If you could go anywhere in the U.S. for a 13-week assignment, where would you go?
Wow. I wouldn't mind heading back to Austin, Texas. I did one of my rotations down there, and I sort of picked that spot because it was sort of a unique setting. It was a acute level neuro in trauma as well as wound care. And I didn't realize that that was probably the most important affiliation I had. But I went down there to ride my bike because, you know, Lance Armstrong was there. You think of hill country. I wouldn't mind going to San Diego. I have never been to San Diego. I would say New York City, but I lived there for several years.
Yeah. You know? And you want, I mean, I'm there right now. Good luck riding your bike and not bouncing off a few hoods every once in a while.
Well, yeah, seriously. I mean, this clavicle I fractured in Prospect Park. I was in two hit and runs. I almost got killed there.
It's no joke.
6 a.m. one morning. I would say Austin, Texas, and San Diego.
Second question is, what's something that you've read that really really inspired you? You can't say your own book. That's a red flag.
I'm going to keep it clinical here. I would say reading Louis Gifford's Aches and Pains. I mean, I read that and I'm like, this guy, it just spoke to me in so many ways. And I think it's because he was on the front lines of working with patients for so long. Oh, I'll tell you a great book by Jim Lehrer and Tony Schwartz called The Power of Full Engagement. And I would say I read that book and Gary Vaynerchuk's book. Yeah. And Gary was an acquaintance when I was in New York. He's such an amazing person. Yeah.
You got to hook a brother up. I'm on my bookshelf behind me, I've got Thank You Economy and Crushing It. And that guy, literally just pick one and go with it. Started any chapter for me on any of Gary's stuff.
Yeah. And he just, everything's so relevant. But The Power of Full Engagement's a really important book if you're an athlete, if you're an executive. These are Jim Lehrer and Tony Schwartz, I believe the names of the authors, but they work with a lot of CEOs, executives, as well as world-class athletes. They got their start in tennis. And, you know, like one of the anecdotes, because you can appreciate this, there are certain athletes who are just amazing when they're in a practice setting. I used to see this all the time when I played tennis, and you see it in triathlon too, as well, really any sport. But it's the ones who manage their energy the best that seem to get to this level that no one expected of them. So, you know, you can look at someone like Roger Federer when he was coming up through the ranks. I mean, look, he was, you know, top dog, but he was a little bit of a hothead early in his career, if people don't remember that. And it's when he started just basically manage his energy that he went from world class to perhaps the greatest of all time. You know, another person who they talk about in the book was Ivan Lendl. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, big serve.
Yeah. So, and the thing that was interesting about Lendl was any time that he was in between points, he would never be inside the lines of the court. And that was his way of saying, I'm on, I'm off. And tennis is such a wild game of momentum. And it's probably at day's end when you're in that fifth set, it's who's managing their energy best.
Yeah.
You know, so I think of it. I have a friend who does some local coaching, and he has a runner who I've worked with from a physical therapy standpoint. And this guy, his times are so impressive when he's going through his training sessions. But when competition hits, he always fades in the back end of the marathon. You can look at all the data you want, but it's how do you get him to manage his energy over the course of that race? Because he goes out at the right pace and everything's going along, but like something falls apart up here.
You know, we're talking about, triathletes in this. You know, when people ask me, you know, who are non-triathletes who, think that, you know, doing a race is really cool and don't know a lot about it, they'll ask, hey, what are the sports in triathlon again? What's the order? Those questions always come up. And I say, well, there's five sports in triathlon. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And like, well, there's swim, bike, run, think, and eat. And if you can't do all of them during that day, you're not going to get to the finish line, or you're going to perform suboptimally.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's the second question. Third question on three questions is, who is someone in the field of physical therapy that the audience should know more about?
Someone in the field that the audience should know more about. I would say I teamed up with Jeff Moore and Mike Eisenhart for this Rising Tide conference. And I had a lot of conversations with Mike. I never met him. So we were putting this conference together, you know, where there's a lot of,
and he's in Jersey and you're on the West Coast.
Yeah. A lot of money at stake out of our pockets. You know, our wives are like, what in the hell are you doing? But I think Mike has such a great vision for the field, and his whole shtick is population health. Yeah. You just talk to this guy and he has a vision, and it's worth, if you ever get a chance to just sit in on one of his keynotes. It seems like he's giving a lot of them these days, and that's not by no accident. I think he's up to good stuff. I think there are a lot of people that are just doing incredible things. I apologize to anyone who I have a lot of respect for that I didn't include there, but that was one person.
Yeah, so. I didn't prep you for that. So we'll put up, there's Mike's Twitter handle in case somebody wants to follow it too. It's Mike Eisenhart on there. All right, you're off the hot seat. That was three questions from Arius Medical Staffing. Again, we want to let people know Running on Resistance is the book. It's out now. Where can people get their hands on it? What's the price? It's an ebook right now, but you said coming to Kindle.
So I'm just waiting to go through that whole application process. So I just self-published this. It's on my website, chrisjohnsonpt.com. If you go under the products tab, it's the first one listed, Running on Resistance. If you type in Chris Johnson PT and Running on Resistance, it'll take you there as well. And, you know, I think a lot of times people are like, oh, wow, that's expensive for, you know, a digital book, but it's a digital textbook. I would say that I personally invested probably over 1,000 hours between all the research and writing. And writing technical stuff is not easy. I would sit in this room sometimes for 5 hours and I would write one page. My wife is like, oh, you need to get a new job. You know?
So, well, I like how you went from creating an app to writing a book. Maybe next you'll just build a house, you know, from scratch with your bare hands or something like that, man. You just do something real easy.
I was planning to have a really sort of extensive triathlon season. And I got into this horrific accident in February. And I took the time that I generally allocate towards training, which is, you know, upwards of 20 hours a week. And I just started channeling that into the book. This stuff is for anyone who's looking to dabble, really any project. It's all about execution and bringing things full circle. It is so easy to get a project 60, 70% of the way, and then it just sort of, you know, flatlines.
Yeah.
So you just have to power through at the end.
Last thing I want to do before we do the parting shot is, are you familiar with the term BHAG?
How do you spell it?
BHAG, B-H-A-G. It's my big, hairy, audacious goal. It's that thing that's like probably so big I shouldn't be aiming for it, but that's what we do, right? You break your collarbone and you're like, I'm going to write a book. That was probably your yearly BHAG. Well, my BHAG next year is to qualify for the 70.3 Worlds.
Yeah.
I'm always... Right.
Kevin.
I know. So I hooked up with my coach Kevin last year for a run at it next year, because next year I'll be 39, but I'll be competing in the four at the bottom of my age group. But 40 to 45, it's a terribly competitive age group. What's one thing I can do besides read your book? What's one thing I should really focus on to get me? Because I'm usually, I don't know, top 15, top 12 in my age group, dragging my butt across the finish line. What's something I can do to get there?
I'm wetting myself right now. Find out my race schedule and make sure we don't sign up for the same race.
Awesome. Are you going for that too? Are you doing the 140 or are you doing the 70?
No. I'm still like, I'm tearing. I have unfinished business with Kona. So I have a plate and screws in here right now. I have to get that removed. I haven't been in the pool for a while, but yeah, I want to get back to Kona, but I'll race. My general schedule is to do 2 70.3s, a full, and then try to race Kona. Otherwise I'd have to take out a loan to afford all the, you know, the racing. Yeah. So what's one thing that you can do? You got to be able to run off the bike. The people who are qualifying. So you have to be strong on the bike and be able to run off the bike. So take a look at some of Steven Seeler's work. You know, I think that would help you. But, you know, that's why you have a coach. Kevin knows all this stuff. I mean, we were just talking. I was on the phone with him the other day. But yeah, and I think that you have to be training consistently. You can't have these hiccups where you're like training and then all of a sudden, you know, you get sidelined for a week. And it's always the run. We wanted to do this book, you know, for the triathlon community, but we didn't want to bite off too much with the first go round.
Well, so, it's a different sport, right? It's not running. It's running off the bike. It's a different thing.
Yeah. So you asked me about like, why do I focus on all this, you know, fluid motion? It's because long course racing is a game of economy. For anyone who wants to watch the Ironman World Championships, it's this Saturday. I think Red Bull streamed it live last year, and it's going to be amazing because Lionel Sanders, if he is going to win it, this is his year, but this guy is such an incredible, he's the greatest thing for the sport because he's sort of like a street fighter of a triathlete, but his running economy is atrocious. And over that distance, that's going to be really what dictates whether or not he pulls off the win. You know, you saw this last year. I mean, you see it all the time. Craig Alexander and Chris Lieto. You see it with Patrick Lang and Lionel Sanders last year. You have to have solid economy if you're going to win that race. So, you know, all these drills that are in that book, I would say practice some of those, push the needle with them, and don't forget to take a rest day here and there.
I love it. All right. So I'll give you full credit now since we're doing it a year before it happens. I'm trying to qualify for the 70.3, not the 140. I'm not trying to go to Kota. I'm trying to go to the 70.3 yeah. world. So fingers crossed, man.
What race are you looking to do?
I don't know. I've always done races based on places I wanted to go and hang out, not necessarily on the course and the time of year. So, you know, I'm going to get into that. And what's the best way to get into that? You hire a coach, right? You hire somebody who's done that. So that's what I did.
And I think that there's a bunch of races in the U.S., but I would say keep pick races that you want to go and travel. I mean, that's part of the experience.
It's the fun.
And I think it puts you in a good mood. And it's less of a job at that point. So, you know, this stuff, as much as the training is grueling, this stuff should be fun.
Excellent. All right. Well, the new book is out right now, Running on Resistance. The website is chrisjohnsonpt.com, where you can find that as well. Last thing we do on the show, Chris, is your parting shot.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. They're more than just a tape company. They're a movement company. Rock Tape helps athletes of every level go stronger, longer, with the best kinesiology tape, cutting-edge education, and fitness support products. Rock Tape wants people to move more and move better. Find them online at rocktape.com/medical.
If you had one thing you wanted to leave with the audience, what is it?
Be a resource for folks. All right. That's why we got into this field and try to give back and try to realize it day's end. You're trying to bring about a change in someone's life. People always say, hey, how do you find the time to put out all these videos? And I say, I'm trying to be a resource. I've been the recipient of a lot of stuff. And also be cool with people. All right. That's easy to do, you know, especially in patient care. Patients come in. They're pulled away from what they really want to be doing in terms of hobbies, family, perhaps job. So a lot of times if they're dealing with pain, they can be irascible. You know, this is not who they are. So be cool, be patient, and that's contagious.
ChrisJohnsonPT.com and the new book, Running on Resistance. Good stuff there. especially this time of year. This is when you want to get into that resistance stuff. If you're an athlete or you're working with athletes, this is the time of year to get them to be doing that work. Appreciate your time. Hopefully we run into each other, but not on the course. I don't need to be messing with your times there, Chris. I want to qualify. Okay. I'm trying to sneak in. I'm trying to go in the side door.
Once it's been spoken, you know, I think that you're committed. So, and I think you'll get it done. Yeah. It'll be a valiant performance.
Either way, it's going to be fun to watch. I'll either blow up or I'll do it. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Who cares?
Chris, thanks for taking the time to talk to us from the West Coast.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks so much for reaching out and, you know, keep up the great work. And next time I'm in New York, I'll reach out to you.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet. ptpinecast.com. Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.